with them on GSAT-20 and the other satellites. The speed at which we can iterate on design and bring them to life is very, very high. So the program increases its speed tremendously. And like I said, it's agile production. There are no setup costs. There's very little MOQ discussion. You can choose to manufacture as many as you want to before you go to short series production. Indigenization, release from locked-in contracts that leave us little choice, where we are buying at obscene prices, or we are supposed to buy at very high-end prices from outside vendors or contractors, gets mitigated here. We have seen that in the case of national programs. We have seen that in case of certain Indian customers, where they need to depend on external vendors or external contractors. Starts reducing considerably, and I think that's a huge contribution to the nation from a forex standpoint also. IP starts getting generated within the country. I think this is not talked about enough in context of additive manufacturing. It's our design. When I say our, I mean it's an Indian design, it's Indian intellectual property, and the extent to which it's our opinion, and in some cases I speak for myself, that the weight and the importance that we give to IP getting generated in the country should be a lot more. And this technology starts initiating conversations around that. We have observed that. We have seen our designs come alive, and I think that's something that's very, very gratifying when you start developing intellectual property of your own. And of course, supply chain is the lowest end advantage as far as we think. So from an adoption standpoint, I'll now the last leg of my conversation. How do you actually bring this technology in? So somebody was commenting that the machines are very expensive. That's true. Powders are expensive. That's true. So what we have done is to drive adoption, we have said, okay, somebody's got to make the play. Somebody's got to make the investment. So we have set up a solution center. And the way in which we would work with organizations who currently don't have the budgets or want to test the technology before they dive in is to use this adoption approach, where we start with a discovery process. You identified some components. We actually work with you in detail. It doesn't happen in a week or 2 weeks. It's a 6 months process where we identify potential components and we explain to you why they are components that lend themselves to additive manufacturing, show you the value that can be unlocked, and then take some pilots, develop them for you, bring them to a production level, and then reach a situation where say, now we are all set, we can do production of these components. There are two things: we can continue to produce them in our place, or we can actually set up a captive EM center for you, where the machine is deployed by us, we run the machine, we run your components, and at the whatever commercials that we agree upon. So adoption is going to be always a key consideration, and the starting point is of course to identify winnable projects where you actually establish good case studies and bring the confidence up in terms of the technology is concerned. So this is a framework that has worked successfully with us. This is just another articulation of that project, of that framework, where we say we do a detailed presentation with the right stakeholders, then we identify pilot projects, we improve the component design working with you, we realize those components, put them into the field, you are happy with the performance, and then we finalize the process package and move that into production mode. And once the production is stabilized, then it's a question of continuing the production or moving that capability in-house in your organization. So this is basically it. I don't want to talk a lot about Wipro and all that stuff, but contrary to general opinion, Wipro is an IT company, but we have a very, very strong competency in manufacturing and also consumer goods. I don't know how many people know that Santoor is actually a Wipro brand. So, yes. And we have a furniture business and we have a lighting business, but where Wipro3D sits is in the infrastructure business, where we do hydraulics, where we do actuators, where we do aerospace structures and so forth. We are able to speak to you with some sense, some degree of authority and confidence, because we've been doing this for about four years actually. And we have developed a range of competencies that we are talking about over these 3-4 years. And it's now that we can claim that the whole ecosystem maturity as far as Metal AM is concerned is something that we can offer to you. This is a serious technology. If you look at McKinsey, they call it one of the 12 most disruptive, economically disruptive technologies that are that we are seeing today and likely to see in the next 5 to 10 years. Even Gartner says that metal additive manufacturing, enterprise adoption, we are not talking about labs, desktop printers and so forth, enterprise level machines are the fastest to being on the path of adoption among all the different types of additive manufacturing or 3D printing technologies. So finally, it's a serious business, and the reason why we wanted to use this opportunity to share with you is that this is really something that's real now. It's not proto. It's something that we would urge you to use and at least try to use in your operations. And this is not something that we are saying, Wipro or something like that. But as a technology, yes, I think with an organization like yours, it'll be worth your while to actually start getting your feet wet as far as this technology is concerned. That's from my side. We have our own time.
Yes.
Currently, anything below 1 micron, beg your pardon, 1 mm, is something that we would really take a very hard look at, because of the simple fact that we have to worry about the melt pool and so on and so forth. So, if you were to tell me 1 mm in aluminium, I would be a little worried. If you were to tell me 1 mm in titanium, not so much of a problem. If you were to say 1 mm in titanium with a height of 200 mm, problem. So depends on the geometry, but yes, something that goes below, starts going below 1 mm, I would not say we will not do. We have just done some features where we reach something like 0.8 mm, but we would have to take a hard look at it. But yes, we are not talking thousands of mm anyhow. The range is pretty flexible. Coming to your question of adjustable beam spot, currently commercial grade machines don't allow that. We are working on the possibility of developing a machine of our own where we could start adjusting the beam spot. Because the moment you start changing the beam spot on the fly, the electronics and the control mechanism and all, and the location and the location mechanism, if I may use it, all gets out of whack. So you have to have a very strong scalable system there. Yes, sir. Component. So we would claim to handle in the range of 400, a build volume of build cube of 400 by 400 mm build cube. But there are machines, so let me answer the question in a different way. It's a commercial answer. If there's a component that is 1 meter in length and 800 mm in dia or whatever, there are machines available who can do that, and we have access to those machines. But the question would be, what's the business case? Do you need just one of them in 1 year? You need 500. And what's the price of that component? So, to your answer to question, there are machines available today for specific applications which could build components to the extent of 2 meters or 3 meters as well. But then you cannot ask for a feature of 2 mm in that geometry. This technology is excellent for such kind of requirements. So it depends on, the one piece is okay. There are times when you do one piece per bit. There's no problem. Yes. So we never talk about reduction of cost. We always talk about how much value we can add. And then finally, it has to make sense to you. So, but yes, it is an expensive technology. There is no doubt. Yes, sir.
110 hours to build, and then another maybe 15-20 hours of post-processing. Plastic and polymers, when you say what about them, there are multiple metal, materials that are used. Different. So in plastic and polymers, you have a very good range. You have desktop printers, you have mid-size printers, you have industrial grade printers, the whole range available. Multi-metal fabrication or graded metals is something that is only possible in a one type of build technology where you have multiple nozzles delivering different type of metal. And it is getting fused, but it's fraught with issues because you're talking about alloying on the fly, and you don't always get the mechanical properties. So ideally, multi-metal is already a alloy, which is then melted and printed.